Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning on this Warrior Wednesday. Your 8-2 Dubs are taking on the Toronto Raptors tonight. Tip time 5 p.m. Warriors warm up with Damon Bruce kicks off 3:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. We got two tickets to give away to Bruno Mars at 8:45 and Drew Bledsoe, Super Bowl champ, four-time Pro Bowler. He's going to join us at 8:30. The big story, it's not Tony Romo. It's not Miko Grimes. It's not the Warriors. It's the fact that the United States men's national team lost, Tibbs?
Costa Rica, Joe, 4-0. I'm surprised, and actually, Lo, I'm proud that I was able to make it in today. I was so upset last night. I almost walked away from it all. What a performance.
Lo, I got to tell you, we're going to be heavy on USMNT talk from now through 10 o'clock. Buckle up, son. Buckle up.
I'm going to take the rest of the day off.
Why don't you take a playoff? Yeah.
Be sure to catch Lo Neal on the Soccer Hour with Tiny and Towny and Steinmetz today at 1 o'clock. No,
I was
I'm
a hell
just
of a soccer
kidding.
Player back in the day, though, Joe. I was.
Do you actually play a little soccer?
Absolutely. It's Lamar.
You play everything.
Absolutely.
Well,
you Lamar, you got to realize in the Central Valley, 65% Hispanic. So recess, all the different things. We always played soccer. Soccer was a big deal in Lamar.
So recreationally, not like in a league.
Yeah.
Because didn't it run the same time as football season?
Yeah, but recreational, absolutely. It's a hell of a soccer player, man.
You're a big man. They call goalie?
They call me Little Pele.
I'm like, get the hell out of here, Little Pele.
I may not be able to recover from that one.
Maybe XL
I do like
Pele.
That. I do like that.
All right, Drew Bledsoe, like I said, will join us at 8:30. Leo Routens, he's the TV analyst for the Toronto Raptors. He's coming up in 28 minutes at 7:30. But here you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for an update.
Top story, Joe. Warriors open up their road trip in Canada. It's a four-game roadie. It starts this afternoon. Our coverage begins at 3:30. Golden State at 8-2, game and a half back of the Clippers, needing to improve their defense, so says the MVP.
It'll come, and it's just about the focus and how much it means to us to actually figure it out and not falling into the trap of thinking we can outscore people or wait till, you know, we're down 8 in the third quarter and then turn it on. That'll be the learning process that hopefully consistently every night we show up that it shows.
Raptors tough one last night, Joe. Does this put the Warriors as big favorites on the road?
Small favorites. Opened as a 3-point favorite and has since been bet up to Golden State -5.5. Naturally so. Raptors went wire to wire with Cleveland last night, one of the best regular season games of the season. Then they have to get on the plane, travel back to Toronto to take on a rested Warrior team that has won 7 of their last 8. Advantage Warriors tonight. You should see a victory.
Warriors at Boston on Friday. Story number 2, San Jose Sharks finally lost on this road trip.
And now Stallberg leads the attack the other way 3-on-3. Pass across the rink, walking in, Nordstrom shot, mask save by the goaltender, rebound, they score!
Aaron Dell stopped 32. He couldn't stop that one. Carolina beats the Sharks 1-0. Story number 3, Alabama, the only unbeaten, remains atop the college football playoff standings. Stanford makes the standings at number 24, and they've got the big game Saturday in Berkeley against Cal. The update brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and at ChooseNissan.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Tell you one thing, Dibs. The committee, this college football playoff troll committee with Penn State at number 8, they're clearly number 2. They beat Ohio State. They should be number 2. They're going to run the table. Penn State is going to end up winning the Big Ten. Whether you like it or not, look out. Now, somehow, it's pure sarcasm, if somehow that team makes it into the top 4 and plays Bama in the first round, 401k game, Alabama minus the points, whatever it may be. Penn State, nice story, not going to hang with any of the big boys, despite the shocking upset over Ohio State. More on that, probably not the rest of the day. Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Walnut Creek Porsche, a 2016 premier Porsche dealer. Well, the day of reckoning has finally taken place in Big D. Tony Romo has lost the job to Dak Prescott. Here's Romo in yesterday's press conference.
You see, football is a meritocracy. You aren't handed anything. You earn everything, every single day, over and over again. You have to prove it. That's the way that the NFL, that's the way that football works. A great example of this is Dak Prescott and what he's done. He's earned the right to be our quarterback. As hard as that is for me to say, he's earned that right. He's guided our team to an 8-1 record, and that's hard to do.
Dibs, Tony Romo, what do you think of the comments?
Meritocracy. He's absolutely right. And the fact that he came out and talked about it so openly, praised Dak Prescott, leaves no doubt that the switch has been made. He supports the switch, and the team can go forward. The way he did it, the way he handled it, absolutely perfect.
Lo, you know the game better than anyone in this room. Between the three of us, we got four Pro Bowls, all right?
Yeah.
So we're qualified to talk about the NFL, but we'll defer to you in a lot of these situations. To see Romo get up there, to know how hard this must have been, but to present himself with such class and professionalism, how does that resonate with you?
Really did. It was touching to watch it. And then I listened to a good friend of mine, Eric Davis, on NFL Network, and he goes, oh, there was no need to say all that. He should have said, hey, I want to play. I'm ready to play. But, you know, Dak's earned the right, and I'm going to be ready. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with it, but I'm going to accept it. I disagree with Eric on that. I think the way that Romo, he let you know his desire, where he was at. But he also showed you the part that he's human. It's tough. When you have to walk away from that game, I always tell people that, you know what? You walk into a stadium, on the front of the jersey, it says Dallas, and the back, it's got your last name. And one day, they're going to take that jersey from you, and who are you? And when you're out there, and you're playing, and I tell my son that, first couple weeks he wasn't playing, you know, just sitting there on the sideline, going through practice, and it's all about the game. The game is easy. And all of a sudden, the screaming's not for you. It's about for all your other teammates. So you got to realize, this guy's been a star. He's been in the league. It was Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys, the Monday night game. It's Tony Romo. And all of a sudden, the cheers and all those things. So he's watching. Even though he's still a part of the team, he's not in the game. And that's why it was hurting him. He's just like, man, I get it. But yet and still, the jersey's been taken off. But Len Steele said, I love Dak. I'm going to support him. I'm his biggest fan. He knows that. I've seen quarterbacks and seen quarterback controversy where things are uneven.
You went through the situation, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers,
yeah,
in San Diego.
And even though they were cordial, it wasn't like, hey, let's go to dinner and let's. You felt it. One's looking over, you felt it. But for him to be a teacher, for him to still be a player and a student of the game, he's helped Dak Prescott without a doubt, probably more than the quarterback coach, probably more than the coaches, because he's actually on the field with him. And you got to admire that. Dak has watched the way that this guy studied. So it was tough for Romo, man. And what he did, man, as a leader and a guy that could have stood up and say, man, I'm not for this. You know what? This is what the team want to do, but I know I'm ready. I know I'm a better quarterback, because he is. He can throw the ball better. He's not necessarily smarter book-wise, but he's smarter in football. He's got more of a football IQ because he's did it longer. And he's a good guy. So he could have been a little bit more stand-up, but no, he said no. His heart was in the right spot, man. It was a breath of fresh air, but it was really touched me to see a guy acknowledge that in the way that he did.
Beautifully said. A man who knows even more about a scenario like this than Lo'Neal, Drew Bledsoe, went through it in New England and Dallas. He was the one that paved the way for Tony Romo to come in. He's going to join us at 8:30 today. Now, Romo continued in his presser talking about his future.
If you think for a second that I don't want to be out there, then you've probably never felt the pure ecstasy of competing and winning. That hasn't left me. In fact, it may burn more now than ever. It's not always easy to watch. I think anybody who's been in this position understands that.
We're going to get to Tony Romo's future in just a moment here, but I want to talk about unintended consequences for a moment. There is no denying that the way Romo conducted himself yesterday was nothing but 100% professional, first class. It's exactly what you want and exactly what you want said from a veteran player like that in that situation. Would we all agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got no way to knock that whatsoever. Romo handled that as well as a guy could have possibly handled it. Because remember, it's not like Brett Favre handled the Aaron Rodgers situation all that great in Green Bay. That became contentious to the point where eventually Favre was told, all right, enough's enough. It's time to turn it over. In San Diego, they got along very well, but it was eventually Drew, it's time for Philip. Things don't always end beautifully, right? It's professional football. I want to run a scenario by you. And again, this isn't to say Romo did anything wrong. Romo was perfect yesterday. But unintended consequences. Public housing in this city. I'm not going to get political with you. This is just an analogy. We have the concept where if a family makes maybe $40,000 or less a year, they qualify for public housing. You can end up, I have a building in my neighborhood like this. Nicer neighborhood, lower rent, better situation to be in. It's designed with the best of intentions in mind to give you an opportunity. Don't knock any of that, right? But here's what could happen. Say that threshold's $40,000. Say you're in there and you're making $38,000, right? Your boss comes to you and says, you've been doing a great job. We want to give you a promotion. We want to give you a raise. We want you to make $5,000 more per year. In any other scenario, you would jump at that. You would love that. But in this scenario, that $5,000 means you're no longer available for this housing. You might have to move to a worse neighborhood. You might have to pay more for your housing. Now, again, it's not to get political and to tell you how you side one way or another on something like public housing. It's a great idea with an unintended public consequence.
Right.
You may have in your mind an idea that, you know what, I'm going to decline the promotion because I don't want to have to move out of these dicks. Romo yesterday said everything you could possibly imagine, but the only thing that did was make Cowboy fans love him even more. He is even more loved than he was before because of how he handled this situation. Now, if he comes out and says, and again, I'm not saying this should have happened, but if he comes out and says something like, you know what, man, I'm still the better quarterback. I still want to play. This is my team. I should be starting. You'd have fans going, Tony, what are you doing?
Right.
Tony, we're winning football games. Tony, how can you say this? This is Dak's team now. You create a little animosity. No one's rooting for you. Now you've got a situation where everyone likes him so much that the second Prescott slips up, all these fans who love Tony Romo, they're going to start clamoring for Tony Romo. Not to say Romo shouldn't have said what he said, because he did it beautifully, but unintended consequences. Unintended consequences.
Great analogy. You brought it home. You brought that full circle. I appreciate the way you spelled that out. Unintended circumstances. And one of those unintended circumstances, Lo, will be in the offseason when Tony Romo, the question of whether or not Tony comes back or not, if they do part ways with Tony Romo, it's going to be a lot harder for the Dallas Cowboys to do that because he is so beloved and he handled this so well.
No, and this is where I beg to differ, because there is a huge amount of people that wish Tony would have. There are still a lot of people that said, hey, this is our quarterback. This is Tony Romo. This guy's, he's a winner. And people wouldn't have been upset if he would have said, hey, look, I'm a better quarterback. I know Dak wants, you know, Dak wants this, and he's done well. But I believe that this is a better team. This team, I can do the same thing, if not more. Clutch situations, I'll be there. He's a great young man. He's done a great job of holding this back. You saw what happened in Denver with Peyton Manning. Isn't Peyton Manning the Hall of Famer? Well, I believe that the same opportunity should have been given me. But you know what? I'm not, as an athlete, I'm not accepting this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys, I'm accepting this, but I'm going to respect my coach's decision. But Tony Romo, the player, I'm not accepting this because I know what I can do for the Dallas Cowboys. There would have been a huge amount of people would have still loved Tony, because a lot of athletes would have, but he took it to what he really feels, how dark. And I've been there when I walked down the field. I've been there when it's like, okay, I'm losing this. I've been there when the stakes are high and you walk in a locker room and you know that, hey, this may not be, might be not a part of this. It's a dark place. It's a place where you're alone. It's a place where everyone else is in the game. They know they're a part of it. But you sitting back and now you're like, man, I'm not the guy.
Right.
So it's tough.
It is tough. And he handled it with such class and he did it the right way. But Joe's right. Unintended circumstances. And yeah. I didn't even think about it from that angle. But it's going to be hard now in the offseason. Let's say Dak plays out the year. They go to the playoffs and they lose. No big deal. No choke job. And it's going to be Dak's team going forward. When you have to now part ways with Tony Romo, it's going to be even tougher because he handled himself so
well. They love him, though, Joe. They'll give him. Now, what he did is now they're going to say, we're sending you to Cleveland. Cleveland might say, I'm on the first round. They're going to say, no. I'm not going to do that to my son.
Right.
I'm not putting my son on the front line. Because if he did it the way he great. Tony, where do you want us to seek the trade? Okay, this is what, and they will bite the bullet because of how he handled it. So I think it's going to help him long-term too as well, Joe.
Beautifully said. I'd weigh in with this to end on this specific portion of Romo, because it's time to talk about where he's going to end up next year. Prescott is the guy you want moving forward no matter what. You want, if you're not going to win the Super Bowl, at some point you want Prescott to stumble. We learn more from our mistakes than we do from our successes, all right? That's human history.
Agreed.
That's everybody, business, family, everything. You will learn more, you will make more progress from your failures than you will from your successes. At some point, Prescott's got to lose a game, and he's got to look bad in the process. Then you got to see how he bounces back. If Dallas loses in the playoffs, that playoff loss will eventually be good for him moving forward. Why? Because he at least knows what it's like to play in a playoff game. Guy makes one mistake, you don't have an itchy trigger finger and go to Romo. Prescott doesn't get the playoff experience. Romo's gone no matter what after the season. Then next year you're going to get to the playoffs, and you've got this great team, but it's Prescott's first playoff game. He doesn't know the situation. Lo, you know it. It ramps up in the playoffs. It's a different beast entirely. So that's why you're going to ride with him the rest of the way, barring an injury. That being said, now it leads us into today's Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, fellas. Today's question, where will Tony Romo play next year? Will he play with the Broncos, the Jets, the Cardinals, the Bear, or somewhere else? You can let us know what you think by going to 957thegame.com. Polls on the right-hand side of the page. Also, let us know what you think by going to Twitter. Vote there, and then use the hashtag TakeYourPick to let us know what you think.
Does anyone here believe that Romo will be back with the Cowboys next season?
I'd say it's about a 10% chance.
But what would make you think there's even a 10% chance? What would be the scenario?
If he plays number two? Prescott got hurt. I mean, if he gets hurt in a Teddy Bridgewater-like injury, okay. Knock on wood, of course, shout out Cowboy Nation and Daryl the Guru Johnson. If that happens between now and the end of the year, Tony Romo stays. Right. Short of that, I think he's going to be gone.
I disagree. There's a lot of scenarios where Tony Romo stays. If Tony Romo says, I want to stay and I want to be a Dallas Cowboy, Tony Romo will be a Dallas Cowboy. Where are you going to get a backup of that caliber and that good of a quarterback? Where? Tell me.
Okay.
You're not going to, but if you have him there as what? Your backup, you can't have your backup making $15 million a year.
Why can't you?
You did in Seattle with Russ Wilson and Matt Thank Flynn. You. Flynn was Thank making you. Like $10 million a year to back up Russ. You've had those scenarios. But this isn't a guy who's going to want to be a backup, right?
But that's my point.
But it's a scenario.
If he wants to be there, that's why it's Ledwood. If he wants to be there, Tony can be there.
Okay, so you're saying small percentage. You're not thinking it's a 50-50, do you?
I think it's 30. If Tony says,
really?
If Tony says, you know what? I love Dallas. And he sits with Jerry Jones. I love being a Cowboy. Look, I can hold the clipboard. I know that I'm one play away. Who's a better leader than Dak than Tony? He can continue to help mature this guy. He said, hey, look, this is a good team. If I don't want to go, I'm 36, 37 years old. I'm tired. I'll stay here. They ain't going to run that boy out of there.
If Dak Prescott is absolutely ferocious in the playoffs,
well done.
Would that make a big difference?
No. You want him to be bad. If you're not winning the Super Bowl, you want him to have a bad game
right.
in the playoffs. Everyone grows from that.
If Prescott,
what happened with Roethlisberger when they went, 15-1 his rookie year? He was okay that rookie year, but they were like 15-1, and then where'd they get beat? The AFC Championship? Thank you for the thumbs up. They got beat in the AFC Championship. He needed that.
I agree with you.
Just coast on everyone's defensive work and then think you're going to get any better as a quarterback. He's going to eventually need to get beat.
Tony's 37. He doesn't have He doesn't have much left. So that's why I'm saying if he wants this parachute deal and stay there, they'll maybe ask him to restructure or whatever. But if he really wants to be there, you think Dallas would run him out of town?
No. I'm surprised that I didn't even consider that. My thought was Romo's at the end of the line. He's going to want to take one more shot at winning a Super Bowl. That's what I would value. If I was ranking his priorities, I think he's made enough cash.
Sure.
He's had a great life in terms of a pro career. The one thing remaining for him is big-time postseason success. He's not going to have that in Dallas as the starting quarterback. So I figure it's like 95% to 5% that he's gone. I don't really see the scenario, but that what you raise is very interesting. Maybe you do want to coast out your career as the number two, make some cash, stay in Dallas, not uproot your family. I can understand that. If he were to leave, however, where do you think the big landing spot would be? Who do you think comes calling? Who do you think gives him the best shot? If you're Romo, do you want to go to the stinking Jets in New York City? This guy has taken so much heat in his professional career for so many different shortcomings. New York's not the place for a guy that might not want to deal with that, man. That media is brutal there.
If you're asking me.
Anybody.
Okay.
Anybody who'd like to weigh in. Anybody who'd like to weigh in on the program.
No, I'd like to weigh in, but go ahead, love.
I agree with you with the Jets. It's tough. Cole. Where do old people go when they're done? When they retire, they want to go to Florida, and they also like where?
Arizona.
Two places. Your body's starting to break down. You're getting a little older. You want to play indoors, do some things. And in Florida's a great weather. Those are two teams. I'm telling you, Tony Romo in Miami, I will bet you right now, and I'll put 10 grand on it, that they're going.
Look at this guy.
10 stacks?
One stack of high society?
That they would go to.
Rounders reference, baby. I know a lot of people out there got it.
That was good.
95795. Sorry. I got to let you roll.
I know.
We're going to Vegas. We can't be talking about grips and stacks of high society.
That's why you got me throwing money out there like that, because you got me fired up about this. You look at that boy in Miami, that young running back, he can run the ball. You put Tony Romo, now you have a running game, he don't got to go out and necessarily win it. And they got some pretty good boys on defense. They got some boy dogs to hunt. I'm telling you, the Miami Dolphins are going to the playoffs. Get rid of Tannehill.
That's a pretty good answer.
It's pronounced Tannehill, all right? Get it right. And the show pronounces it Tannehill.
You're in a situation with a pretty good offensive line, right? Miami, not what you have in Dallas. But if you're Tony Romo, you want to go somewhere warm. You're right.
Yeah.
You want to go somewhere where you can
got a running back.
Potentially win.
Yeah.
You got a running game and a division where you're not going to face ferocious defenses, or you want ferocious defenses, not ferocious defenses. So I don't think Arizona's the answer, because you don't want to go play Seattle. You don't want to play that Ram defense. You don't want to go up. Well, San Francisco's fine.
That's two.
Wow. Wow. Wrong.
You see what I did there?
Their partner.
You see what I did there?
Boom.
I had to do that. I think Miami's a great answer because you want to go to a team where you do have a chance.
You liked that, didn't you?
I don't know if he could beat out Tannehill, though. He can spin it. He can flat throw it.
Wrong.
There's so much to like about Miami. No one sweats anybody down there. You sweat literally. You don't sweat figuratively. Media's not getting on you down in Miami.
What kind of a leader would you have instantly in that locker room if he goes there to Miami?
Well, Miami's intriguing. That's not one of the teams Schefter suggested. Adam Schefter, ESPN, floated some names yesterday. Chicago, Tony played at Eastern Illinois. There's a natural connection there. I'm nixing that.
Too cold.
Two games at Green Bay, two games at Detroit, two games at Minnesota, and it's John Fox. There's nothing progressive about a John Fox offense. You're not going anywhere. That's just going to limit this dude's life. Chicago's not close to competing. I think he's going to want to compete. So Chicago's out.
Yeah.
He also mentioned the Jets. I think they're out because you're not going to want to have to deal with the New York media. Why put yourself in that stressful environment? So rule them out. Number three is Denver. Denver's very intriguing.
Very.
Now, it's a tough
division,
but you're going to have a great defense backing you up.
I like it.
You are familiar with Wade Phillips. Now, even though he's on the defensive side of the ball, Kubiak has worked with older quarterbacks before, Peyton Manning. John Elway understands the situation. Spend a little money on the offensive line. There's Denver. Arizona, like you said, Lo, I think makes perfect sense. Miami is not one of the four teams Schefter suggested, though. That's an interesting one to throw out there.
I like Denver, too. Of the ones that were mentioned, I think Denver's a great fit. The Kubiak angle, yep. Wade Phillips, and like you say, a ready-made defense and a good running attack as well.
No question.
Well, Peyton Manning, what did he do in Denver? So, yeah, got to go Tony Romo going to Denver.
Ooh, Romo.
Good thing about it, he's got some options.
He's going to have options. Arizona makes so much sense because you replace a broken-down has-been in Palmer with an about-to-be-broken-down has-been in Romo. You don't think Larry Fitzgerald's going to be stoked to play with Romo? Look, Palmer's lost it. You saw him in that game against the Niners. You've seen it all season. He's hesitant in the pocket.
Overthrows,
he's making
balls,
bad decisions.
No accuracy's off.
Romo would flourish in that offense. You give him David Johnson. You really don't have a whole lot you need to do in Arizona to get ready for Tony Romo. Maybe invest a little bit more in the offensive line. But you got the receivers. You got a running game. You got a defense. You've got good home field. Granted, Dibs, you make an excellent point regarding who you have to play in division. That would be tough. But what are you going to do? You're not going to find the perfect scenario divisionally unless you want to go play for, like, the Texans and replace Brock Osweiler.
That was the other one I was going to throw out because,
jeez,
as we've seen, Brock struggles and Brock has a hard time beating out broken down 38-year-old quarterbacks.
How are the Warriors going to handle? I'm not even going to try it. Charles Barkley butchered the guy's name so many times. I'll kick it to you, Dibs.
Valanciunas.
How are the Warriors, who have struggled at that number five rim protection position, going to handle Valanciunas tonight in Toronto? The Voice. They're the Toronto Raptors TV analyst Leo Routens is up next. It's Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Will Tony Romo ever play again for the Cowboys? Drew Bledsoe joins us coming up at 8:30. Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe Lo and Dibs.
Here's a question for you. Are the Detroit Lions going to win the NFC North?
What?
Now, that sounded absurd before the season started.
Absurd. It sounds absurd now.
Even a few weeks into the year, it did. But a week ago, I told you they're 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. With the way Minnesota's reeling, with the way Green Bay is reeling, with the way Chicago is completely lacking in competitive spirit, there might be an opportunity there. NFL bold statements 14 minutes from now. That Wait. Is one of them. Today is a Warrior Wednesday, however, and it's brought to you by Premier Kia of Newark, the go-to dealer for the greater Newark area. Very happy to welcome into the show Leo Routens, Toronto Raptors TV analyst, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very, very well. Tonight, the Warriors will be taking on the Raptors. DeMar DeRozan is having an unbelievable season, averaging over 30 points per game. We'll get to that in a moment. First question, though. How is the fan base reacting to last night's loss against the Cleveland Cavaliers? One of the best regular season games of the season so far. It felt to me, however, that the refs got a little bit too involved in the final 2 minutes of that game.
Well, if you know our fans, they're very passionate. So, yeah, they're coming down hard on the referees. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, there were a couple of calls that were definitely questionable, but it was a great game. You know, from start to finish, it was a great game. And I thought the officials became a little too prominent, not just on the Raptors side, but even on the Cleveland side at the end of the game. You know, the players were doing a great job. I think the officials just needed to let them play this game out instead of get involved and have a couple of, you know, a couple of influential calls that at that point in time just was not needed. So, you know, the referees didn't cost the Raptors the game. But certainly wasn't a great ending to a great game, and fans were upset about that.
Very well put. The backcourt in Toronto, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, could be the best backcourt in all of the NBA. Are those two seeing this matchup against the Warriors and their great backcourt as a little bit of a litmus test to just how good those two can be?
Well, I think both these games are. I mean, you know, last night you're looking at, you know, Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, and you know, tonight you're looking at, you know, Steph Curry and Clay and KD. So, you know, there's no rest for the weary. And it's actually a crazy, you know, a matchup, a back-to-back matchup like this is very rare in the NBA, where you're playing against the last two NBA champions back-to-back. And so it's definitely a litmus test. There's no question about that. And it, to some degree, I think the Raptors got a little taste of Golden State last night. You know, Cleveland's off to a record pace shooting threes. I mean, I think last night was their 10th game, if I'm not 10th game or 9th game, where they scored 10 or more threes. So that's an NBA record. And they're so obviously Golden State spaces the floor. Golden State's as good as anybody knocking down the threes. So they got a pretty good idea what's in store for them tonight. Only, you know, Golden State obviously plays a little looser style of game than Cleveland. And you really got to adjust to that. I mean, you take a bad shot or two, you turn the ball over, and it's off to the races for the Warriors. So the Raptors can't get into one of those games.
I know it's early in the season, but what are you looking to find out in these two games back to back for your young Toronto team? What are you looking to take away from this series, these two games, rather?
Well, I think, for example, last night's game. You know, last year the Raptors in their games at Cleveland, regular season and playoffs, they got smoked. I mean, they just got, you know, they beat Cleveland in Toronto. They just got smoked in Cleveland by over 25 points a game. So I think last night was a pretty good idea that, you know, this is a different team now. It's more mature. DeMar's at a different level. Valanciunas is, you know, starting the season off the way he finished last year in the playoffs prior to getting hurt. Kyle Lowry. And I think they've added some good young pieces. So this is a team that I think really believes in itself. And you could see that last night in Cleveland. And I think that's really it. This is a team that had breakthroughs last year. They could never get past the first round. That was the biggest obstacle. Even last year I said, you know, if the Raptors get by that first round opponent, Indiana, I don't care who they play in the second round. This team will go to the Eastern Conference Finals. But it was that mental block of getting past that hurdle, and when everybody's talking about it, you just can't get away from it. Well, they finally did that. And I think the last year being a season of breakthroughs, you're seeing that come through now. And the way this team is playing, there's great chemistry. They're confident. They believe every time they step on the floor, they can win. They don't panic. They've had some great road wins already this season at Oklahoma City, at Charlotte. And so, you know, this is, I think right now it's just still finding that rhythm. You know, what's Damari Carroll? What's he going to do? What's his impact going to be? Is he going to be healthy? Lucas Nogueira is a guy that's hardly ever played. Now he's getting significant minutes. Pascal Siakam is a rookie starting at power forward. You know, how is his development going to continue? Then you got a Jared Sullinger that's going to join the team sometime several months from now. So as good as things are, I think there's a lot of room for improvement and even development, which is kind of unique because the Raptors are, you know, one of the youngest teams in the NBA, despite their success.
Toronto Raptors TV analyst Leo Routens joining Joe, Lowe, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. One of the issues the Warriors have had this season comes down to rim protection. Zaza Pachulia he's still trying to find his way. The fan base would like to see a little bit more of JaVale McGee, although when he checked in the first quarter of Sunday's game against Phoenix, he was quickly put back on the pine as the Suns were kind of racing by him. So the Warriors are still looking to work out the number five position in a lot of situations. Great big man for the Toronto Raptors and Jonas Valanciunas. What should Warrior fans who are unfamiliar with Valanciunas expect from him tonight?
Well, he's a big physical dude. I mean, he gets after you. You know, he likes to use his body. He's very good offensive player. He can step out, hit a 15, 17 footer. He can go inside. He can dunk on you. And just right now, he's just playing with so much confidence. He finished the season. He kind of turned the corner the last month of the season. And really dominated in the playoffs until he sprained his ankle and really was done against Miami. So here's a kid that I can put in perspective here. The Raptors were playing against Charlotte. Steve Clifford, the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, made a pretty good point that if Jonas Valanciunas is your third best player, that's pretty good because he may be the best center in the Eastern Conference. So, he's a guy that hopefully can help the Raptors establish a presence around the basket. And you'd like to be able to go at Pachulia or whoever else is going to be guarding him in the post area. So I think it's important that the Raptors establish that and play a physical brand of basketball going inside.
Leo Routens, Toronto Raptors TV analyst with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Leo, thank you very much for being so generous with your time. We appreciate it. Good luck on the call tonight, and we look forward to catching up again soon.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks, guys.
Valanciunas.
Yeah.
If I keep saying it, it'll eventually be committed to memory, and I'll be okay.
No, it's there. Jonas Valanciunas, and when you look at it and you start to go to the Eastern Block and work on your pronunciations, it's almost phonetically spelled. It's exactly how it should be pronounced when you look at it. With, you got consonants, you got vowels, you got the C-I-A-S.
A lot going on.
You got some U's in there. It's just Jonas Valanciunas. Not that hard.
You did a nice job with that. That name in the past, however, has caused quite a few people some problems. I tried to stay away from it this morning. I believe there's another notable former NBA great who's had some troubles with it.
Jonas Valanciunas.
Would you say that's close, Dibs?
I'd say it's not even close. I would say that's a ferocious effort.
I would say that that's the Charles Barkley of golf swings when it comes to the pronunciation of Jonas Valanciunas' name. That's what that is. It's the Charles Barkley of golf swings. All right. We asked you about the Detroit Lions. The likelihood that they win the NFC North, it sounds crazy, especially a couple weeks ago. But at 60-1 to win the Super Bowl last week, Matthew Stafford's got something cooking. That and four more NFL bold statements are next. It's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Jonas Valanciunas.
Will Tony Romo ever play again for the Cowboys? Drew Bledsoe joins us coming up at 8:30. Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Welcome back to the show. Bruno Mars tickets at 8:45. 15 minutes from now at 8 o'clock, we're going to get into a heavy Raptor-Warrior preview. Andre Iguodala, how's he feeling? It's been a tough go for the man tasked with guarding LeBron James through the first 10 games of the season. And Drew Bledsoe, Super Bowl champ, four-time Pro Bowler, is going to join us at 8:30. Gentlemen, it's Wednesday. It's 7:45. Let's get to what we do every week at this time.
I like bold things. Do you like bold things?
Bold flavors.
I call that bold talk.
That is too bold.
New Enzyme Bold strips away the big stain, dullness, to let the brightness shine through.
Sailor Bold.
Bold flavor!
It's time for NFL Bold Statements.
You got the
with
eagle.
Joe Lowe and Dibs.
The bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Everybody loves bold things.
You got the eagle screeching in there. I guess that's bold. All right, here's how it works. Big question coming up.
Number one.
One. Fight through it.
Bold statements. The Detroit Lions will win the NFC North, Dibs.
No, I can't agree with that bold statement. Even though they've looked great, Matthew Stafford has his game on. He might be thinking about a 5,000-yard year, but when it all comes down and they play on Thanksgiving Day, what happens to the Lions on Thanksgiving, Lo? They get beat. And when you lose on Thanksgiving and you do your usual Detroit December slide, I don't think they're going to be able to have enough to get over the hump. I think it's still Minnesota's division.
Lo Neal, bold statement number one. The Detroit Lions will win the NFC North.
What's that smell? New money. Stafford's getting ready to get paid. Paid a man. Absolutely. You look at this team. They got hot at the right time. They've already beat Minnesota Vikings. Right now, this team is streaking. I say yes.
Chicago's 2-7, and they can't compete consistently to save their lives. The Green Bay Packers have lost three in a row and look like an average football team despite Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Minnesota's 5-0 start has given way to a four-game losing streak, and they've got serious offensive line issues. And here's the Detroit Lions, 5-4 with a quarterback who makes plays late in games. They currently own the tie breaks. They're on top of the division. The upcoming schedule isn't all that challenging, and Vegas has taken them from 60-1 to win the Super Bowl last week when they told you it was a good value to 40-1 to win the Super Bowl this week. Something's cooking. I like Detroit to win the division.
Oh, my.
Number two
NFL bold statements. Lorenzo Neal, the Steelers will part ways with head coach Mike Tomlin after the season.
No, they won't. I understand. You see what's going on there in Pittsburgh, but he's just too good of a coach. Who are you going to replace him with? This guy has a tenure there. They don't make a lot of brass movements, a lot of brass changes. I think Tomlin's safe for just one more year.
Dan Dibley, the Steelers will part ways with Mike Tomlin after the season.
No, they won't. Mike Tomlin stays in Pittsburgh. They're just a game out of first right now in the division, a division that they can, should, and still will win. If he gets in the playoffs, even though the year's been a disappointment and you've had players come out and speak about the dysfunctionality in Pittsburgh, they're not a team that likes to change the head coach very often. He stays.
Those low expectations work in Buffalo. Those low expectations work in San Diego. They work in Miami. They work in Detroit. Low expectations do not work in Pittsburgh, home of the team that has won more Super Bowls than any other franchise in the National Football League. The Steelers have big-time problems. They've lost four in a row, and they are not detail-oriented. Winning the AFC North is no longer a feather in your cap. It's one step above succeeding and winning in the AFC South. I think one way or another, outside of making it to the AFC Championship game, Mike Tomlin is gone.
Number three.
Dang.
Number three, Dibs. Tony Romo will play for the Arizona Cardinals next season.
I'll do my Marv Albert and say, yes! I think that's going to be the oldest tandem of quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League. Dak Prescott's done so well that Tony Romo probably will be relegated to be a backup if he stays. He wants to start, but he wants to compete for a championship. Carson Palmer is going to be 37 on December 27th, so you'll have a 37-year-old Carson Palmer and a 37-year-old Tony Romo dueling it out next year to start for Arizona.
Lo Neal, NFL bold statement number three. Tony Romo will play for the Arizona Cardinals next season.
It's very, very possible, but I'm going to say no. I think I love him in Miami. I think you got a new head coach there. Adam Gates is going to be given the keys to do what he wants. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Miami Dolphins.
Arizona is a great fit, but Denver is going to be in the mix. John Elway loves those old quarterbacks. John Elway realizes he doesn't necessarily need a great quarterback to compete with the team he's assembled, but a guy like Romo is a huge step up from a Trevor Siemian or a Paxton Lynch, even if it's just a 1 or possibly 2 year deal. Remember, Siemian has gotten a lot of good experience this year, and while he hasn't been great, if he's called to step in for Romo, should he get hurt next season, you've got a young guy with a great defense who, at the very least, has some regular season experience.
Number four.
NFL bold statement number four, Lorenzo Neal. Dak Prescott will lead the Dallas Cowboys to the Super Bowl this season.
Well, I think it's very possible, but I'm going to say no because I'm not sold. It's not because of Dak Prescott. Let me tell you this. It's because of the defense. You can't name me three players on that defense. The defense can't sack the quarterback. Defense can't cover long enough. I think that it won't because of Dak. They won't make to the Super Bowl.
Dan Dibley, NFL bold statement number four. Dak Prescott will lead Dallas to the Super Bowl this season.
Yes! I think Dallas will make it to the Super Bowl. Tony Romo making his statement gave Dak Prescott a chance to exhale, and he's got a shot of confidence. And if you look around the NFC, not a lot of good teams there, not a lot of teams that can challenge and go up against that good offensive line, that elite running back. Dallas is riding a hot hand, and I think they will go all the way.
I like Dallas. I like what they've done this year. They've been very impressive.
Them.
But there's a difference between running through the regular season when teams like the Giants, the Redskins, the Eagles make mistakes late in games. This is not to take anything away from the Dallas Cowboys. They earned that win at Pittsburgh. But the playoffs are a different beast entirely. And you may be hosting a playoff game this season, but Jason Garrett has never been a great coach at home. This year, it's slightly different, but Seattle's going to come to town, and Seattle is going to give you problems. You have a young quarterback who has no idea what it's like to face that defense, the highest form of defense in the National Football League. Seattle was my pick in the NFC before the season started. I'm still riding with the Seahawks.
Number five.
Local angle, NFL bold statement number five. Jared Goff will lead the Los Angeles Rams to victory in his debut against the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, he will. Jared Goff, the pride of Marin Catholic High School and the University of California at Berkeley. He's been sitting and waiting. He's been sitting and watching, and now he's ready. And the thing about L.A., great defense, a good running back, and I think this is a spot that they've been saving for Jared Goff because Miami, while a very competent team at home, 1-3 on the road, I like the Rams here to win this one and Jared Goff to have a good debut.
Lo Neal, NFL bold statement number five. Jared Goff will lead the Rams to victory in his debut versus Miami this weekend.
No. And guess what? The guy is not ready. He's put in there because Jeff Fisher didn't want to put him in there, but he's been forced to put him in there. The guy's not ready to play quarterback in the National Football League. And the Miami Dolphins, yeah, Tannehan is going to find a way to win that game, and Miami Dolphins will win that game. So, no, he's not winning this week.
This game opened with the Rams as a one-point favorite. The announcement of Goff brought in a lot of Miami money, moving the Rams from a one-point favorite to a one-and-a-half-point underdog.
Smart people.
Generally, I don't like to go against that type of action. I have no idea how the Rams are going to perform. I don't trust the Dolphins. Did they end up staying on the West Coast? They had San Diego last week. Now they've got Los Angeles in Los Angeles. You got to figure they've been out there.
Yeah.
We'll see how they respond to that. But one big bonus working in Goff's favor. Go back through history. When NFL teams are tasked with stepping up for a backup quarterback due to an injury or a replacement quarterback, it serves as like this B12 shot that energizes everyone. That might not last 2, 3, 4, 5 games, but one game generally tends to rally the defense, the offensive line, the running game, and the special teams. I think Goff ends up pulling it off in his debut. Ladies and gentlemen, so concludes NFL Bold Statements. Gentlemen, tremendous work as always.
Very well done.
Comprehensive breakdown of the Warriors-Raptors game coming up here in about 6 minutes. We're also going to talk with Drew Bledsoe at 8:30, and we've got Bruno Mars tickets to give away at 8:45.
You know, I like the one you're talking about, Seattle and Dallas. Kind of wanted to get in that for a second.
Sure.
I like Seattle. I think if Seattle's playing against any team that necessarily can throw the ball really well, Seattle wins. Because Seattle's corners, they're smart. They can play press coverage. They got hard-hitting safeties. You don't want to catch the ball against those guys. Ask Gronkowski.
Oh, boy.
They are a devastating tackling team as far as in the secondary. Against the running team, a team that can run the ball, a la you saw the Buffalo Bills come into Seattle, time of possession, beat them up. They're not really big up front. They're not stout necessarily against the run. I think the Dallas presents the most difficult matchup for Seattle because they are such a dominant running team when I look at those two, Joe.
You know, if you want a great example, you don't even need to use Buffalo. Use this offensive line with Romo in Seattle like 2 or 3 years ago during the regular season.
Beat them up.
That was like a 14 or 15 game winning streak the Seahawks had it's at true. Home, and Dallas came in there and mowed them down with DeMarco Murray.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that's a good example for you as well. I think it makes sense. I think what you do in that game defensively is you put Richard Sherman on Dez Bryant,
yeah,
and you say, there you go. Richard Sherman's the best cornerback in the NFL right now, I think. He's tackling. You don't get great tackling from a lot of shutdown corners. Sherman gives you everything.
Right.
So I think you try to neutralize Bryant with Sherman.
I like that.
I think you stack the box to slow down the run, and you say, Dak Prescott, you're going to have to be Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and the rest of our secondary. I think that would be the game plan if you're in Big D going against that offense.
And that, I'm sorry, Lo, that's why I like Dallas, is because that game would be in Big D. If Dallas falls out of the top seed in the NFC, then all bets are off. Seattle at home in January, virtually unbeatable.
Right.
But Dallas at home, I think they're going to be tough as well.
They got to be home.
Got to be home.
From the 408. It's Tannehill. Is this a running joke, or do you really not know? It's a running joke. Running we like joke. Tannehill.
Tannehill
around here. 95795 if
and
you'd like to weigh
Mike,
in.
It's Mike Shanahill, the coach. Am I right? Shanahill and Tannehill.
I just like Tannehill.
I do too.
Tannehill sounds better.
Yeah, Tannehill.
It'd be in his best interest to change his name. You could brand Tannehill.
Yeah, Tannehill.
Totally. Tannehill, it's like, all right, Tannehill. Is this a battle that General
right.
Custer was involved
right.
in? Is this an NFL quarterback?
Sink my battleship.
What are we talking about here?
Right.
There you go. It's a beautiful thing.
Benny Hill, Tannehill.
All right. Benny well, this Hill. Dak Prescott thing has finally been made official. Do you think it adds any more pressure to Prescott now that the path's been clear? Because he's been competing to an extent for this
sure.
job until yesterday when it was made clear. Now it's your job, Dak. Does that add any more pressure to his plate?
I think the first thing the coach do is sit him down and say, hey, look, this is yours. Go have fun. Relax now. Hey, this is your job. You're the future. We turn the keys over to you. Now, go have fun. Play like you've been playing. And I think it relieves a lot of the pressure, because now you got Tony Romo going to say, hey, look, young fella, go win me a Super Bowl. This is your thing. This is your team. I got you. I got your back. I think he's going to relax even a little bit more, Joe.
Lo, I think you're getting some support on the text line from the 510. No, that's the wrong one. From the 619, Tony Romo to Miami. He loves to golf. End of story. Sean. You were floating Miami earlier. Makes some sense if you want to move on from Tannehill.
Both, yeah. Both those two teams, though. Denver's a great. All three of those teams are very viable for Romo.
Here we go. The biggest issue you need to worry about tonight's matchup, Golden State at Toronto. Coverage begins right here, 3:30 p.m. Damon Bruce, Warriors warm-up, tip time, 5 p.m. That's all coming up in 1 minute. It's Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.